Hey, it's JT again, talking to you about my friend Ron Mead from Make Money Ron on YouTube. I normally don't talk about money things on this show, but I've known Ron for over 40 years. I trust him completely. He comes to my house for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So here's a suggestion. If you've got student loans or other innocuous debt or not so innocuous debt hanging out there, go to his YouTube channel, Make Money Ron, spell it out, M-A-K-E. M-O-N-E-Y-R-O-N, and subscribe to his channel. He's got some very specific strategies that he has put together, and they do work. So subscribe. Doesn't cost you anything. See what happens. Go to Make Money Ron. Thanks, everybody.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
This is an encore.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. That's the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Camaro Dave and Commander Chris, coming to you from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in beautiful Portland, Oregon. Today, we've got a new guest. Not that we always have old guests, but we have a new guest today, Bill Wheeler, who is one of Myron Mixon's compatriots from the old Jack South competition team. So we're going to be talking to Bill in a little bit. He's got an interesting story. We got a little music from, who do we got today? I think, yeah, Waylon Jennings. How about that? Dukes of Hazzard. In being that, Bill's kind of a Southern guy and I've spent a lot of time in the South, I thought maybe that was appropriate. So, he'll do that. Also, we'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. You can check them out online at PaintedHillsNaturalBeef.com. Welcome, Bill Wheeler.
Well, it's good to be with you. I know we've had some issues getting our schedules together, so it's good to finally be on here and be able to chat with you.
No worries. We're always trying to be accommodating. Well, here's your backstory. I'll just kind of start it, and then you can take it from there. Bill worked for about 35 years, and according to news sources, he never really had a hobby until he received a Christmas gift back in 2010. And it was a chance to attend the cooking school of Myron Mixon's, as Bill calls him, the Richard Petty of barbecue. And now he's hooked. Now he's made a name for himself. And by the way, if you follow Bill on Twitter, which I do, every morning he sends out a little message to you that says it's National Raccoon Day. It's National Salted Butter Day. He comes out with all these kind of facts that are kind of fun, and he's always wishing you to have a good day, and I think that's very cool. So what, first of all, let's take it from the top, Bill. What prompted your wife to give you the certificate to the school?
We were watching an episode of Barbecue Pit Masters and saw Myron on there, which I didn't have a clue who he was or anything about competitive barbecue, but I wanted to learn to cook a brisket. He seemed to be a good man to learn that from. And my wife always likes to try to come up with a surprise for Christmas, and I'm definitely one hard to surprise. So she gave me the class attendance for a Christmas gift, and that's how that ended up happening. We ended up that in April when I went to class in 2010, that one of the people that was supposed to go with me didn't get to go. So she attended with me and enjoyed the class, and she met Myron. And then, like I said, the only reason I went was to learn how to cook a brisket. Didn't pay any attention to any of the other stuff, to be honest with you, in class until we got to brisket, and I focused on that. Gave a gentleman there my card, my business card, and he called me on Monday after cook school and wanted to know if I would be interested in cooking a competition with him in Sevierville, Tennessee, which I told him I'd never cooked a competition. He said he never had either. So I started cooking with Kewin, Stewin, and Bruin, Scott Smith. And of course he was another JOS alumni, and we were grinding, and that's how I sort of got started in it, but I never went with the intention of doing any barbecue competition.
That's interesting, because most people would be a bit terrified, to put it mildly, to step into the role of a pit master or helping with a pit master, or especially if you neither of you really had any experience to do it, and yet you're going to be judged in the categories, and you got to, you know, turn in your boxes and all that different stuff. Did you have any clue of how they worked?
Just from what I saw in class was the only thing that I knew, and I really didn't understand. It was a KCBS, Kansas City Barbecue Society event in Sevierville. And, you know, I don't even remember how we scored. We didn't win that particular competition. But from that point on, I was gone about 45, 47 weekends a year for several years competing. We were gone every weekend.
Wow. That's the traveling salesman, literally. You have another business, though, that you do on a, you know, Monday through Friday type schedule, don't you? You have an alarm system or a security system business?
Yes, Wheeler Technologies. My wife owns the company, and I run the day-to-day operations, and we do everything low voltage. We do fire, security access, and cameras, telephone systems. Pretty much anything to do with the low voltage aspect of technology. And this will be my 45th year to be doing technology, but it's evolved a lot in 45 years.
Well, you went from low voltage to high voltage when you hooked up with Myron. I'll tell you that.
Well, that was the dark side. Yes. In 2010, Scott Smith and I had been to Plant City, Florida. That's when I met Johnny Trigg for the first time and spent quality time with him. And we were coming back through Unadilla, Georgia, and we stopped by to see Myron. And I got in the truck to leave, and Myron told me when I got ready to leave Scott, I could come and cook with him. And I laughed and shut the door, and I told Scott, I said, Scott, you know, that was a big compliment for the winningest man in barbecue history. Offer you a place on his team. I said, well, he wasn't serious. He was just kidding. He said, no, he was serious. And he just said, you just need to come on over to the dark side. So from that point on, and it took me till 2012. I did help with cook schools before that, but it was 2012 before I started competing on Myron's team.
Was it a big change for you when you went to Myron's team? I mean, obviously you and Scott had your own ways of doing things, not talking about perhaps the cook, but the prep, the timing, everything like that. How did that change when you went over to Myron?
Well, a lot of the things that we did, Scott and I learned at Myron's class, so we were pretty much in tune to that, but it was usually just me and Scott, and it's a big difference whenever you go with Myron. And I mean, a norm for us is about five people at a competition. I mean, we have had as little as three, and we've had as many as nine, but everybody has their niche and they know what to do and where to fit in. So it works out very well. But that was one of the biggest changes is that, you know, we had a TJ Wehunt usually run the pit, and if he was there, which he's there 99.9% of the time, and just everybody fitting into their own particular spot was the biggest challenge rather than just two of us being at a competition.
Well, that's a big change, though. I mean, you got to get used to everybody's moves. You know, if you're working in the trailer or around the pit or whatever, people have things that they do on a consistent basis, the way they organize their knives, for example, and you got to get used to that.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we've always, on the Jacksonville South team, we always click, everything falls into place. And I mean, there's never any confusion on our parts. We all know what we need to do and we do it. It's amazing. Like I said, you know, one week you may be with three different people on the team than you were the week before, but we've worked together so long now that, and so many times that we make it happen.
Absolutely. Before we head out to break, I'm trying to bring you some fresh news this week. No pun intended. Amazon opened its first fresh supermarket last Thursday, giving select
customers in California a taste of what's to come. The e-commerce giant, which in recent years has been taking a bite out of the multi-billion dollar grocery industry, invited a select group of customers in the Los Angeles area to shop in the store before opening up to the public in the next couple weeks. The company touted that the new store offers seamless and convenience in experiences both online and in store. At the new location, the company implemented the Amazon Dash Cart. Going to hear more about Dash in the next segment, allowing its customers to skip the checkout line, as well as Alexa features that help customers manage their shopping lists and navigate the aisles. The store also offers same-day delivery and pickup. However, safety remains at the forefront of the coronavirus pandemic. As that continues, Amazon says it's put in place comprehensive safety measures to help protect team members, and customers against the virus as the store welcomes shoppers for the first time. This includes requiring daily temperature checks for all its employees, requiring face mask coverings for all employees, and customers entering the store offering free disposable masks for any customer who wants one, and operating the store at 50% of the capacity. Now, prior to the opening, hundreds of Amazon Fresh store associates helped with online grocery delivery out of the Amazon Fresh store while adhering to Amazon safety measures. That's according to the company now, not me. This is kind of interesting here. As soon as I get the rest of my script out here. The store will be open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's on the Pacific time. Amazon did not offer a specific date when the store would open, but they're kind of saying a couple of weeks. Amazon confirmed to the news source here, which was Fox, that it will open three other stores in Illinois, in Oaklawn, Schaumburg, and Naperville, as well as one in each in Irvine and North Hollywood, California. However, Amazon did not specify when those locations would open. But they will be open. That's according to Amazon. So there you go. Amazon's going to turn into the one-stop shopping thing for everything in the world. I think that's the plan. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Bill Wheeler right after this.
A long time.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Weston Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Weston.
1994 to January 2026, Weston Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon. Reported by Kia Corp.
Hey, everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool, Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
This is an encore.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT and the Nation here on the Envision Radio Networks. If you'd like to email us, it's bbq@salempdx.com. That's bbq@salempdx.com. Also, if you want to check it out on SoundCloud, we're making some new records there. It's just Barbecue Nation JT. Facebook is the same thing, Barbecue Nation JT. My Twitter account is CountCook57. That's how I met Bill. And we'd like to say hi to all of our affiliates down the line here out on the West Coast and in the Midwest and down in Texas. We're talking with Bill Wheeler here, who's on Myron's competition team, Jack's Old South. When you first started, let's go back to that for a minute, Bill. When you first started, had you ever like even tried to cook a brisket? Had you ever tried to trim a brisket? Had you ever tried to, you know, do battle with pork ribs, anything like that?
Most of the things that I did was grilling. I didn't even have a smoker, but I bought an inexpensive electric smoker, and I did buy brisket and I tried my hand at it. Of course, I didn't watch YouTube videos. I just read some things online and tried it. And I threw it in the garbage. I was the only one that tasted it. Nobody even knew I cooked it. Because when I got back home from cook school, I did a brisket. My wife said, this is very good for your first brisket. And I said, well, actually, that's my second. And I had to explain to her that the other one went in the garbage. And no one even knew I did it. But most of all I did was just grilling steaks and chicken. And even, you know, I even learned a lot about that as far as saucing chicken, you know, 8 minutes before you're done with it.
Instead right.
of starting it and letting it burn up and caramelize. But it was a good eye-opening learning experience for sure.
It takes a while to learn that stuff. I mean, what you just mentioned, something about, you know, the saucing and that. I mean, when I was a young guy and out on the ranch and my folks would cook and we had this kind of funky charcoal barbecue thing and had a rotisserie that kind of went, poom, 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 and the chicken would slip, you know, so I'm never sure I don't remember if the chicken actually made it all the way around one rotation, but they would start saucing it about 20 minutes into the cook. And so it was always pretty crunchy, pretty chewy, and not very good. So like you threw your brisket in the garbage. Sometimes those chickens would go flying over the fence into the back pasture. You know, it was pretty tough. What do you think is the most important thing you've learned about just in general about barbecue from hanging around with Myron?
Well, I think you need to keep it simple. A lot of times, and that's something Myron's always said too, we try to overcomplicate it, and we do it. You know, I think you need to be consistent. That's one thing I've seen in competitions, and I've backed down from the 45 comps a year. I enjoyed being gone, but it was just wearing me down. So I think last year I was gone 15 weekends. But I would see a lot of competitors, and they would go this week, and they would do this and score well. And the next competition, they didn't score well. So then they changed all the recipes and went back again. I think you need to stay consistent. I mean, consistent. I think you need to tweak things every now and then, but you don't need to be doing a lot of drastic changes. And I think simple is a good thing when it comes to barbecue.
I think you're right. I've interviewed a lot of folks on this show. I've obviously, like you, have seen a lot of things online. And sometimes, I got to tell you, Bill, sometimes it's like, man, they just added 8 extra steps there that I don't think was necessary. That's just my opinion, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, you don't know that much about me, but I've cooked on television for 20 years. And I can tell you this. You will lose a television audience if you have more than about 4 steps in your recipe. They can't follow it. They won't follow it. It becomes too complicated, and 1/8 of a teaspoon of cumin isn't going to do anything for you. And so, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I go back, and of course, probably one of the worst people in the world to change things at a comp is Myron. And, you know, we'll go in the competition and something we've done this way for X number of years. And it's like, I think we're going to try this today and see how this works out. And he doesn't have a lot of time at home anymore to experiment. So we do a lot of experimenting at comps, which, you know, I think that probably hurts us some when we're playing around with recipes there. Sometimes it, you know, sometimes we win and sometimes we don't. But the simple things seem to be good. And if you see people, you know, it's been humorous over the years. You see folks that watch somebody on Barbecue Pit Masters and they see how they do their ribs. And so the next thing you know, you go look and everybody's doing the same thing at a comp to try to copy that to win in ribs. And are any other categories as far as that goes. But I think the simple is the key. And if you find something and it works for you, then stick with it. The flavor profiles with your wood and your sauces and your rubs, you know, is an important thing. And once you find that niche, then that's where you need to be.
Yep. Yep. We're talking with Bill Wheeler, who's part of Myron Mixon's Jack's Old South barbecue team. 10 years ago, Bill didn't know much about this, and now he's one of the world all-stars out there, which is impressive. When we come back, we're going to ask Bill about some of his own personal preferences and how he does things at home. Maybe he'll share, maybe he won't, but I think he probably will. You're listening to Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Network.
Just a good old boy, never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw, been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, yeah, flattening the hills.
Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out.
Cowboys ain't easy to love, and they're harder to hold.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation here on the Envision Radio Network. I'm JT, or Jeff Tracy, as you might call me. We'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef. That is beef the way nature intended. Painted Hills Natural Beef. We've got Bill Wheeler with us today. He's with Myron's Jack's Old South barbecue team. How much, Jack, do you guys actually go through? That's a question I was asked about you guys. I said, I have no idea.
You mean as far as Jack Daniels goes?
Yes.
We don't. That's funny. But now, Tracy Mixon, that's Myron's brother. He likes Jack and Coke. Ed and I prefer margaritas. Several don't drink. And Myron's a Crown Royal person, just the Blaino Crown. Definitely not the peach.
Yep.
He had a bad experience with peach one night. Just him and Ed did. And but there's very seldom, if you were to look on the cook rig right now, you might find some Cabo tequila.
Yep.
And some Crown, but you wouldn't find any Jack on it, I don't think.
I know what happens when you get bad ice. It's terrible. It can really hurt you the next day. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. It's very tough. And I know from your tweets that you're also a big fan of Mexican food.
I love Mexican food. And I mean, we could probably eat there 4 or 5 nights a week. They do have good margaritas, too. A friend of mine's the manager, and he's one of my customers. And it's convenient. I mean, it's not far from the house. And usually we can get in and get out in a hurry. And that's one of my favorite places to eat.
So, Bill, when you're doing something at home and you're prepping at home, walk us through how Bill Wheeler would, like, prep a rack of ribs, or even if you're not doing a whole brisket, maybe just doing a flat. How do you do it for when you're doing it at home?
I've never cooked but one flat of a brisket. I've always cooked whole briskets, and that the only reason it was by chance, not by choice, on the flat, because that's all I could get to serve during a holiday. But I mean, pretty much, Myron's got a book that's Smoking by Myron Mixon, and I'll put a plug in here for him.
Sure.
And that's the go-to book. That's where I get my pork injections, and I do inject my pork butts and that brisket injection in there. I do inject my briskets. But I'll go through and trim the brisket. I'll get all the silver skin and the fat off the top. I flip it over and I remove the fat cap from the point only. That way I can, if I'm going to make burnt ends, mm-hmm. I do. And go ahead and I put Myron's rub, his hickory rub, the Myron mix and hickory rubs, what we use on brisket. You can put that on there. He's got a new hot rub. Put the hickory first and put some hot rub on it and let it soak in. That's after I inject it with Miner's beef base and au jus. And like I said, that's in his book, the recipe for that. And then I'll put it on the pit. I cook my brisket and butts, the big meats, at 300. Or that, I mean, if it's a pellet smoker, stick burner, whatever, I smoke them at 300.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 hours, I place them in a pan, a full pan, tightly fold them, put it back on the smoker, and when my point gets to 203, 205, when it feels like butter, I pull it, let it rest for a minimum of 2 hours, separate it, do my burn-ins. If folks don't know how to do burn-ins, there's some good videos on there. Myron's got two, one of them with me when we were in California, and do the burn-ins. If you ever do burn-ins for your family, you pretty much ruin it. So you're going to have to do it every time. So you need to make your mind up whether you want to take time to do it all the time. But, I mean, that's the way that I do the brisket, which is the same way we do in competition and the same way we teach in our cook school.
So how do you cook your pork butts?
The pork butts, I trim them very little. Now I'm talking about for home, not for competition.
Right. Right.
I take the loose fat off, and one thing I've learned to do on the pork butts, and I'll tell you about it in a second, but I make sure there's no bone fragments on it, and I inject them with our pork injection that's in the book. One of the main things in that pork injection is apple juice. And then I use the Myron Mix and original rub on those and let it sweat in. Pretty much the same ordeal. I mean, I put them on the smoker at 300. I put them in a pan with some apple juice in the bottom after 2 hours. And the 2 hours will vary depending on your smoker. I mean, I want them to have a good color before I pan them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll go ahead and tightly fold them. And when they reach 203, 205. Now, if I'm on a pulled pork, if that's all I'm going to do, I'll take them to 210 because it sure is easy to pull. At 210.
Sure.
Now, if I'm, my son sometimes will wrangle me into these things that, oh yeah, Dad will cook you 6 pork butts for your wedding rehearsal dinner or something like that.
Yeah, go figure. Yeah.
So I'll pull them about 195, cut the money muscles off, put them aside, and then I'll go ahead and take them on up to 210 and pull the pork, and I keep the money muscles.
Well, at least you get something out of it then.
That's true.
Yeah, I get right.
Nobody.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, nobody knows the difference where those money muscles were there or not in full pork. So
no.
You might as well take them off and slice the medallions and enjoy them.
You know, it's funny because when you develop these types of skills, you get volunteered for a lot, I've found.
Oh, yeah.
And, I did catering for a while but I was really never set up for a commercial catering business. It was all because I was kind of the TV radio guy, blah, blah, blah. And that worked. It was fine. People enjoyed it. But, same type of thing though. It's like, hey, could you cook us we've got a charity thing here. Could you knock out, 5 prime ribs for us, or something? It's like, yeah. Okay. But what they don't know doesn't hurt them, just like you said.
True.
You know?
Absolutely.
Out of the different categories of ribs, brisket, pulled, and chicken, which one was the toughest for you to kind of get your arms around?
Well, my favorite category is brisket. My most hated category is chicken. And it's mainly just prepping the chicken and I'm particular about myself being right. And the chicken, getting the bite through skin and everything, is probably the most difficult thing for me. The ribs, I think I do pretty well in those, and the pork butts too, but the brisket's always been my best category, and the chicken's been where I've struggled.
I think chicken is where a lot of people struggle, honestly. Because it can go, no pun intended, but it can go south on you really quickly. Chicken can.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when you're working with the bigger cuts of meat or the racks, you know, yeah, you can kind of, you know, they're not as delicate. It's the way I look at it, Bill. They're just not as delicate as when you got thighs up there or something, or even if you're at home and you're doing whole chickens or whatever, that those funky birds can just fly the coop on you. No pun intended.
Absolutely. And you know what I do, one of my favorite things to do at home is chicken wings. And I don't do a lot. It's very surprising to people that I don't do a lot of cooking at home as far as barbecue goes. I mean, it just doesn't happen. I did 27 turkeys at Thanksgiving, and I've probably done wings 3 or 4 times. But when I was doing it 45 weekends a year, I didn't want to do barbecue when I was at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't do a whole lot of cooking at home. I did some instant pot chicken tortilla soup last night. That was good, but nothing to do with barbecue.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Trader Joe's fried rice, chicken fried rice with some sweet and hot sauce on it and stuff. And then something else like that I can kind of, when I do have to cook, I can whip it up in one pan and be done with it. There you go. I'm cheating, but I understand completely.
Before we go to break and Bill's hanging on the line there, I want to tell you something new here. DoorDash has launched a grocery delivery service. Restaurant delivery platform DoorDash is partnering with regional grocers. Regional grocers to offer on-demand grocery delivery. Partner grocers currently include Smart and Final Measure and Fresh Time. In the next few weeks, Gerstedt's and Hy-Vee will join DoorDash as well. Other grocery chains, including Wegmans and Gelson's, will give DoorDash customers access to their apps, which customers can use to order prepared foods. Prior to the pandemic, the market for online grocery shopping was growing, but kind of slowly. Delivery demand has since shot through the roof in all sectors. During a recent call to discuss second quarter results, Amazon Whole Foods CFO Brian Olsavsky reported that online grocery sales tripled year over year. Other players in the grocery delivery market are capitalizing on changing consumer habits, including market leaders Instacart, which announced a partnership with Walmart that allows customers same-day delivery service from Walmart locations in L.A., San Francisco, San Diego, and Tulsa. There you go, Tulsa. Not to be outdone, DoorDash pledged that groceries from its providers will be ready for Dasher pickup within the hour. DoorDash charges about $4 as a delivery fee on each of the orders, unless the customers are a member of its Dash Pass, which is $9.99 a month. Well, we'll be back with more Barbecue Nation, Bill Wheeler, right after this. Don't go away.
Ready for a new ride? Choose from over 1,000 vehicles at Westin Kia, like a new Kia Sportage, Soul, Forte, K4, Sorento, Telluride, or Carnival. Gas, electric, or hybrid. Oregon's all-time leader in Kia sales. Everyone wins at Westin.
1994 to January 2026, Westin Kia sold more new Kias than any other Kia dealer in Oregon. Reported by Kia Corp.
Hey everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about the Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us, check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them.
I've held it all in. God knows I've tried.
This is an encore.
Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios here in Portland, Oregon. We've got Bill Wheeler with us. Bill is kind of a country boy done good story, if you will. Kind of like a lot of people I know. 10 years ago, he didn't know much about barbecue, and now he's competing with Myron out there on his team. Let me ask you a couple of real quick personal questions, because we've only got about 5 minutes in this segment, Bill. What's the biggest misconception about Myron, if there is one?
Well, I guess his attitude, you know, and And I'll be honest, in his early episode of Barbecue Pit Masters, he's become quite polished since then. Some may think he's still a little crude. We had a real good time laughing and cutting up at this class over the weekend. And you can come to Barbecue Cook School and Myron, it's not only learn competition and backyard barbecue, but you also have a comedy show. He is so funny. Anybody that was in the class last weekend could tell you that they laughed all the time. He's got a tender heart. He's a good businessman. He's the mayor of Unadilla, Georgia. He took the leadership of Unadilla last term. He just got reelected, and he's turned that place around. But he's all around a good guy. He's my best friend, and I love him dearly, as good as any of my kin folks. But he has got a good heart, and I think everybody that comes to cook school, once they leave, they have a different opinion of Myron Mixon than they do when they get there.
Well, I'll tell you, I've interviewed him two or three times now, and I've always had a great time doing the interviews with him. Some of this stuff we have to edit out as far as the over the air stuff, and we put that in the after hour show. But other than that, I found him to be quite charming and quite funny. And he did invite me down to shoot squirrels in the pecan orchards with his 410s and his golf cart. So, you know, I can do that. I have no aversion to hunting varmints, so to speak. What's been your biggest joy so far in working with the crew?
Well, I've enjoyed the fellowship, and a lot of us have bonded very close together. But probably the most thrilling time, and this is my pinned tweet on my Twitter account, was being in Memphis in 2016 and winning the world championship. I was ecstatic, and the ring that Myron bought all the team members, there's a picture of the world championship ring that he gave me, and mine's personalized. It's mine. That's something I've never expected to accomplish in my life. And, you know, I've been able to travel a lot. I mean, I was born here in Cleveland, Tennessee, lived here all my life and didn't travel a whole lot. And I've been just about all over the country now. And Myron's been good to me and the rest of the team members. But the 2016 World Championship would probably be the creme de la creme.
You make it down to Sammy Hagar's deal with him?
No, for some reason, I've never got to go down there, but I've had a lot of people tell me I need to be making tequila commercials.
Well, that you could. I've vouched for you on that one, bud. I've vouched for you on that. Just make sure you take some aspirin or whatever you want with you, so you got it in your pocket at all times. You'll be good. I saw a film clip of Myron down there when the boys were setting up one of the smokers for him, and he had his little coffee cup full of whatever it was in there, and it was kind of funny. They were hustling for him. It was really cute.
Yeah, they did a good job setting that smoker up, because there's no telling how much that weighed.
Well, one guy wasn't going to move it, that's for sure, Bill.
Well, and you saw one guy that wasn't moving it, too.
Yeah.
That was Myron while he was supervising.
Yeah, he looked good in that position. It fit him. It fit the profile. It fit the real profile.
That's where he should be. He's delegating responsibilities.
Absolutely. We're going to wrap up this show. Thank you, Bill Wheeler, for being with us. Bill's a Tennessee boy who made it good in Georgia with Myron Mixon on the Jack's Old South barbecue team 10 years ago. He was a raw novice, and now he's in there with the champ. So congratulations, Bill. I always enjoy hearing stories like this.
Been a real blessing to be a part of it.
Yeah, it has. I bet it has.
Before we round out the show today, and I want to give you a little more insight on a couple of things that are happening out there. So Bill's been very patient with us today. Restaurant chains are seizing the moment by buying some shuttered independent restaurants. Although large restaurant chains have lost some business during the pandemic, severely low sales and closures are not nearly as widespread as those among smaller independent restaurants. Now that more restaurant real estate has become available at reasonable cost, several chains are investing in infrastructure. CEO of Domino's, Rich Allison, stated that the chain anticipates an expansion, crediting real estate opportunities that weren't available in the past. And according to Restaurant Business magazine, Chipotle has reportedly been seeking out restaurants that have not shuttered, offering to buy their leases whenever they are looking for relief. Chipotle's chief corporate affairs and food safety officer, Lori Shallow, stated that Chipotle will proceed to open new restaurants and sign new leases to satisfy customer demands for Chipotle. Steve Rafferty of Dunkin' Donuts, senior director of franchising, also said in a statement that franchisees who are small independent business owners are always looking for new development opportunities in the communities where they live and they work. One report from Bank of America in early July showed that spending at large chains decreased by 4% year over year compared to a 25% plummet for independent restaurants and very small chains. A survey by James Beard Foundation and the Independent Restaurant Coalition reports that only 66% of independent restaurant owners felt confident that they would remain open going into this October. The IRC predicts that as many as 85% of independent restaurants may shutter for good by the end of the pandemic. Restaurant consultancy Aaron Allen and Associates anticipated that one in three may shutter by the end of the year, freeing up a significant amount of real estate for chains looking to expand. That actually makes me very sad. It really does. I read another stat the other day that they expect 26,000 restaurants to close by the end of the year. So we're going to get out of here. And I want to thank Bill Wheeler for being with us again today. And we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.